Not many people can sing that very good. You know, when you sit up here, Kristen's playing, I'm trying to enjoy it, but I'm also looking around. My mind just, it just runs everything. But I'm sitting here thinking, you know, Kyle's got like 2 weeks. So if there's any advice I could give, Kristen, these next 2 weeks, when whatever Kyle wants to eat, wherever he wants to go eat, just let him. Because I have learned in marriage when the wife says, you know, I don't care, just pick, that means the first 4 or 5 are no, I don't want to go there after that. So just let them pick and go. And then on my right side, I've got Joyce and Kevin over here fighting, punching each other. And I'm trying to enjoy the music. So I thought, how do I get them? I'll just talk about them is what I'll do. Just pinch them like you used to, Brenda. He needs pinched. I'm sitting here blaming Kyle, and I know it's Joyce's fault. That's awful. Anyway, if somebody would sit between or put Kevin one row back, we'll be good. Probably need both of them on the front row. Separate. Anyway, it's good to see everybody this morning. And thankful that I can get up here and share the word. And I pray that that it will be profitable for you, as I know it is for me. You know, it's funny, when you teach or when you preach, one, either way, the person that usually has gotten the most out of it is what he's learned. And just excited to share with you things that maybe I've learned and hope that it helps you. And if not, you just need to sit there and listen anyway. You ain't got nowhere else to go. So, well, you probably do, so I'm not going to leave that for you either. Just hang with me a few minutes, okay? We will have service tonight, don't forget. This morning I want to talk about a question that I think every believer should ask. If you answer it, then it will dispel a lot of many other questions. The question it doesn't dispel, it will give you the ability to answer people simply. There is one question that every believer should ask, and it should always be answered scripturally. Not about what you think it means or what your idea is, but based on what the Word of God says. Simply put, the question is, with what we hear all the time, you would be surprised the people that are grace believers that can't answer scripturally why Paul. And it's because they base it on what they've been told instead of what the Scripture says. It's important that we use the Word of God in answering our questions, because the Word of God is what is the truth. That's what becomes important. Not the joke or the special story or what it may, or some feeling you get. There's nothing wrong with having great feelings, and there's nothing wrong with things that make us sad that bring us to reality. And there's nothing wrong with a guy crying at a movie. So quit making fun of him if you do, ladies. Because he's in touch with something that, you know, those things are fine. But those are not the things that are important that stand. The things that are important that stand is the truth of the Word of God. So the question is, why Paul? Why do we talk about the Apostle Paul so much? And why is it that he is the one that we specifically preach on more than anything else? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to answer it. And if you'd have been here at Bible study, we didn't stay on Paul that much. We looked at things that are profitable that even Paul would bring out. So all the Word is profitable, all of it. And it proves itself true. Whenever you have a question about the Word of God, guess where you can find the truth of that question? Usually in the Word of God. It proves itself. The Word of God answers itself. Why in the world is the Apostle Paul in the Bible? Why does he write 13 of 27 books in the New Testament Scripture? What is going on that makes Paul so important? We know that Jesus Christ is the central figure of our faith. Amen? It's the most important. You have his life on earth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, And it is a wonderful life that you can read about Jesus Christ while He was on earth. But you come to the early Acts period, and you see also not just Jesus Christ walking the earth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but you also see the Holy Spirit come upon. He confirms the word that Jesus Christ told and taught His apostles. And Paul's nowhere in this picture at this time. He comes and confirms the validity of that and those 12 apostles' ministry. You see it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Christ came to the earth, walked the earth, taught the apostles, taught the disciples what they needed to know. And with mighty powers and wonders, carrying out that work in the early Acts area again, you see that it was going wonderfully. Many were added to the church daily. And all of a sudden, out pops the Apostle Paul, who we knew before he was Paul, he was Saul. He doesn't just pop up on his own as the Apostle Paul. It was so important that Paul be brought on the scene that Jesus Christ, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, Jesus Christ literally comes back from heaven in Acts 9. It's that important. Not that anybody else tell Paul about what's going on and what ministry he needs to carry out. It was as if Jesus Christ Himself had to speak to Paul. That's how important it is. Now let's remember, Saul arrests many. His goal was to stamp out the name of Christ. And in Acts 9, Jesus Christ arrests the wild career of His enemy on earth. That was the enemy of Christ, was the Saul. His chief opponent, the leader of the world's rebellion. I guess the best name that we could come for today that we would think about is as if Hitler. I'm just trying to think of things that are, you know, think of the dirtiest person you can think of in your time or in your history. Here's Saul of Tarsus stamping out anybody that would name the name of Christ. Saul of Tarsus, he is saved by His grace and has made for Himself a chosen vessel, the Apostle Paul. Surely such a startling thing as that, something that is as important to the Lord to accomplish, surely deserves the question, why would Christ do that? Surely that's deserved to be answered. Because the answer to the question, why would Jesus Christ, why would He come and save Saul of Tarsus the way He did? And make him the apostle. There is no question about what he did. In every epistle, Paul writes and starts, and he says, with Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Think about it. Somebody just as ruthless as you can imagine, that is making people martyrs for their faith and what they believe, okay, that has been on the scene and has witnessed Jesus Christ on earth, that has witnessed the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And you have this Saul of Tarsus stamping them out. And then all of a sudden, this Saul of Tarsus is on the scene as somebody who has a message of salvation, not to the Jew only, but to the Gentiles, who is known as heathen, who is known by Jews as dogs. I mean, that would really raise some eyebrows, would it not? But in Galatians, go to chapter 1, verse 1, and look what the Apostle Paul says. And the validity that it was Christ Jesus who came to him and not by man. Galatians 1, 1. The Word of God says, Paul, an apostle. And in parentheses, what does it say? Not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead. You know, alone, in Galatians 1:1, you see the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And you see the responsibility that it wasn't man. Man was the tool that crucified Christ so that you could be saved. But God Almighty brought it together. We would have failed at that. But He says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. And as, in case you wondered how that took place, he just elaborates a little bit more. He says, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead. Who was it that raised Jesus Christ from the dead? God the Father. Notice, Paul, an apostle, not of men. So it wasn't, Paul didn't become an apostle because he was a great speaker, because he looked good, because he could move congregations and make them feel a certain way, not because he could raise a lot of money for the church or grow a church. Paul wasn't called an apostle because of how talented he was in theology or in school. It didn't come from any man. It wasn't from any part of human origin at all. He says, not of man, neither by man. So there was no instrumentality or group that ordained Paul. Do you know who calls people apostles today and bishops today when they're named and they come out on the scene and they become very popular? Usually man. Usually they graduate from an elaborate college with great scores, or they can speak really good, so all of a sudden they're called Bishop so-and-so. Or they're called so-and-so the apostle. Paul didn't get that title from anybody else but Jesus Christ Himself. So the validity of why Paul was called an apostle wasn't because he earned it. It was because he was called to be a vessel of what Christ wanted to elaborate on your behalf. That's why we rejoice in the fact of what Paul did and Paul's office, Jesus Christ. That's why it was important that Paul was called, the Scripture says, out of due time. When it was time for it. You know, the other apostles didn't make a mistake and they should have got Paul instead of somebody else. There's no mistake made, and we'll see that. Paul was called in due time. And it's due time, and it's for our orders. It's for our justification to see the truth of what Jesus Christ did on our behalf. And we rejoice in that. It's not of men, not by a group, not of man, but by Jesus Christ. So with that being said, it was directly the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father that raised Him from the dead. It was the risen, glorified Lord from heaven's glory, from the Father's right hand. The Father sent back Jesus Christ to ordain Paul as an apostle. That's huge. That's why he can say, as he does on many occasions, that he is Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, not by the will of men, not by a group of people telling him, hey, you know what you ought to do? You need to go in the ministry. You know what God told me the other night? You ever had anybody that, you know what? None of that. It was by the will of God. How do you argue with somebody when they say, why do you do that? God told me to. You know, you can't argue anymore. Now, during Paul's life and ministry, the question of why Paul came up there too. Do you not think people asked why Paul when Paul was on the earth? You don't see his letters how he continually defends himself? In fact, there were many people that denied Paul's apostleship. They said, we don't need any other apostle than the 12 that we have. They would say, who are you? In fact, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. They were questioning that Paul was who he said he was. I mean, Do you not think that was fair for them to question a little bit after he was stamping out the name of Christ? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord?" Now remember, he is writing to the Corinthian people. He is reminding them after he was there, he left and wrote a letter because they were living just like the world lives today, even though they knew the truth. Okay? And he's reminding them of when he came to them and their lives changed and they realized as Gentiles that they could be saved by the fact of what Christ did and that they weren't under the law. They didn't have to go through Israel for their salvation. And so he says, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free?" They had lost the validity of who Paul was and how he was called. He says, "Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord?" Verse 2, "If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: Have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles? And as brethren of the Lord and Cephas?" Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look what they said about the Apostle Paul. Chapter 10, verse 10. "For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible." Do you think that we're going to, that in today's time, in all these areas, do you think they're going to find somebody that doesn't look the right way, that doesn't speak the right way? See, Jesus Christ called Paul not based on how eloquent Paul was, but the fact based on the fact that the Apostle Paul was going to share the truth and be used as a vessel. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look what Paul says. Chapter 2, verse 7. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, the word says, "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." This became such an issue. Look what he put in parentheses. "I speak the truth in Christ and lie not." There were people that, you got to realize, he was stamping out what they knew as Christianity. And so he's telling them who he is and that he's not lying. He's defending in his letters. If it was that important, then why would he have done it? Why another apostle? Some say, well, there are many people today that will say, well, he really isn't another apostle. What he is would be the 12th apostle. And they go back and they believe the 11 made a mistake when they chose Matthias. That they shouldn't have chose him because it caused the Lord to come on the scene and rectify their mistake. Now there's nowhere in Scripture that's written, but if you grow up in a doctrine or a denomination or something that's made by man, and you're taught that from a young age, that's going to be your argument until you're shown the Scripture in truth. So they believe that Jesus Christ has came to rectify their mistake, and that's why he chose Paul. But one thing that is clear in God's Word is that the Apostle Paul was not one of the 12 apostles. He was not made an apostle to fill the ranks of the 12 before him. In fact, in Scripture, Paul could not have been one of the 12. First of all, he didn't qualify to be one of the 12. Why is this important? Because if you don't qualify, then you can't be on the ballot to get elected, can you? In Acts 1, Peter is very clear that having spent 40 days with Christ and then instructed of him out of the Scriptures, having the Scriptures open to him and taught the Scriptures, he is very clear that Psalm 69:25 had needed to be fulfilled, and that one needed to be chosen from their ranks to replace Judas. In fact, without turning there, in Psalm 69:25, the word says, "Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents." In Acts 1:21 through 22, it gives the qualification for being one of the 12 apostles, and why they did not make a mistake choosing Matthias, and why Jesus Christ called Paul out of due time. In fact, go with me to Acts chapter 1 and look at verse 21. Acts 1:21. In Acts 1:21, the Word of God says, "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." Now look at the qualifications to be one of the 12. They had to company with this group from the beginning, all the way from the beginning of the baptism of John, until the day of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason for the qualification? Why do they have to be qualified that way? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, verse 28. In Matthew 19, verse 28, here's the reason for the qualification and why Paul didn't fit that qualification. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." See, Jesus Christ had set up that criteria for being one of the 12, and Paul didn't fit that. In fact, go to John chapter 15. In John 15, when Christ is in the upper room with him, look what the Word says. In John 15, 26. In John 15, 26, Christ says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me," how long? "From the beginning." Saul was not with them from the beginning. So Saul did not qualify to be one of the apostles. So the qualifications to be elected as one of the 12 apostles would mean you would have to be there from John the Baptist till he was taken up. So then reading this, it's clear that Paul didn't qualify. It takes away that these apostles made a mistake by choosing Matthias, and they should have chose Paul, so Jesus had to come back down to make Paul the apostle for these 12. Doesn't fit. Paul never qualified. So what did the preachers say or do from that? They were going to have a job to be a witness of his resurrection. Many preachers and teachers just make that comment. But this isn't what the verse said. It is from the beginning to the resurrection, so you can be a witness. It's not that you just need to be a witness of the resurrection. Beginning means exactly what it says. You can't take it away. This is extremely important. An apostle is not chosen because he is a witness of the resurrection. If so, then you would have over 500, because there was over 500 that were a witness of the resurrection. The words say there appeared over 500 of the brethren at once. The function or one of the jobs of the apostles was to witness the resurrection. But the qualifications meant that you had to be there from the beginning of John the Baptist. Follow him through his ministry, to be taught and instructed by him all the way to the ascension. So then, Paul didn't qualify for the job. Secondly, Matthias was chosen by the apostles, then was endorsed by God, the Holy Spirit. Because in Acts 2, he filled all 12 with the Holy Spirit, Matthias included. Paul said he wasn't chosen by man, nor by men. Right? If we believe differently, then Galatians 1:1 is a lie. It takes that one verse can take away everything that this word is written if we believe that Paul should have been chosen. Right? Because he would have been chosen by men. And he wasn't. In fact, in Acts 2, verse 4, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Not only did Paul not qualify and Matthias did, but also, Paul and his ministry didn't work under the same commission that the 12 had been given. They weren't even under the same commission. Paul literally worked under a different commission. For example, go to Matthew 28. Now, Jesus Christ, as he is in his ministry between his resurrection and prior to his ascension, he meets the disciples on the mount in Galilee, and what does he teach them? In Matthew 28:19, look what he says. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now that's Christ walking this earth, teaching these 12 apostles what they must do and what He has commanded them what they need to do. Now if you know anything about Paul's ministry, then you know this passage wasn't something he ever worked under. Well, does that mean that Christ made a mistake calling the apostle Paul? Absolutely not. There were just different orders given. Tradition and religion kept me blind to this for many, many years. I never paid attention to what the Scriptures said. Christ sent these 12 to go and baptize. Absolutely true. And He sent them to teach those what He had taught them to teach. Absolute. But go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. Now Paul has gone into Corinthians and he's told these people, these Gentiles who were never taught, to go taught them that it's by the faith of Christ. He's taught these men that they can be saved. And Paul has gone through there and he's left Corinthians, and now it doesn't take long to misinterpret. It doesn't take long for different assemblies to be set up and start teaching things that's not true. Because let's face it, most assemblies that are set up in a way of how they can move people. As long as they can make them feel a certain way or make them, you know, they have power. That's the problem today with men, is the power. The word doesn't become important. And so Paul's left and now he's had to write this letter. But look what he says. 1 Corinthians 1:14. Now, remember, he taught the 12 to baptize and to teach all the things that he had commanded. Now, here is the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:14. "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other." Here's the kicker. "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Now, if he told the other 12 to baptize in his name, and Paul says here, "For Christ sent me not to baptize," evidently something has to be different. Now, is all the word true? Absolutely it is. But something changed that was given to Paul That is why Paul wasn't taught by man nor men, but by Jesus Christ Himself. That's why the Apostle Paul says that he was called by Jesus Christ. Because the message had changed to the world. You weren't saved by going through Israel and following the law. You were saved by the fact of what Jesus Christ did at the cross. And nobody else had that order. That's why Paul was called, because it was a new order. Paul says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." What was the gospel? Well, we know the word gospel just simply means good news. Right? So what was the good news that Paul had? It was the fact that Christ had died for their sins, past, present, and future. And that to trust in that alone, that's how they based their salvation, that Christ saved them. It was a different message. Israel had to follow commands because that's all they knew. They weren't taught anything different. Those 12 apostles did exactly what they were supposed to do. But so did Paul. He says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the good news, the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." You know what shadows the cross of Christ? Many people that tell a lot of stories that have nothing to do with the Scripture. Many people that come in and stand behind a pulpit that try to motivate people and give them 10 reasons to be a better this, or 5 reasons why you should do this. And they make all their, hermeneutics. They make all the lines start with a T, or they make everything rhyme, or they give you the fill in the blanks, and you walk out and you say, "I'm going to do this. I've been there. I'm going to do this. This is the new me." And the next week you come back because you need that drug again, because you never see the truth in the Scripture. That was what was given to the Apostle Paul. It's amazing. People almost want to go back. Religion makes people want to go back and try to live like Israel lived. And they can't do it. Why do you think Israel failed? Because they couldn't do it. Why do you think Almighty God would give commandments to a nation of people, His firstborn, that they couldn't do? It helped them realize they needed help. And by them becoming guilty, the whole world became guilty before God. And then God Almighty put His Son on the cross and resurrected Him on behalf of your salvation. Therefore, baptism wasn't necessary anymore. Saying a certain prayer wasn't necessary anymore. Everything had been done that needed to be done. And that's why Paul's reminding these people, "Hey, look, Christ didn't send me for this. He sent me for the good news of Jesus Christ." You know what's so funny? Today, we dwell on the things that are just not important. We have a habit. I have a habit of that. Those things that are not important. And it's funny, when something happens, or when there's a family problem, or your best friend, something happens, or at work, there's a difference in change. All of a sudden, you realize, when you get over that hump, that really wasn't that important. I have found every time there's a problem that I can't solve, or every time there's something that I can't do anything about, it takes a little bit of time, but I realize that wasn't important anyway. We make these physical things so important, like churches do today with baptism and with confessing things. It takes away. Listen to what Paul says in verse 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize." But that means there's something there. He sent me not to baptize, but instead of this. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Now get this. "Not with wisdom of words." Because you know what wisdom of words do? You know what happens when somebody can speak so fluently and so eloquently? You think, "Gosh, that guy is smart." You walk out of here and you say, man, you need to hear my preacher. He's so funny. Or he told this story and it moved. There's nothing wrong with good stories. I'm not putting down the stories. But the fact is, we make the wisdom of words shadow the cross of Christ. The most important thing we can ever preach is the cross of Christ. Wisdom of words, look what it does. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You know what you do by motivating somebody to make a decision that has nothing to do with the cross of Christ? You take away the importance of what Jesus Christ did. It's what you do. The cross of Christ becomes of none effect if somebody believes their salvation rests in something else they did by what some man told them to do. And that was Paul's worry with this group of Corinthian people, was that this preacher did this or this preacher did this. In fact, on through 1 Corinthians, it talks about how there were many that would name the name of Jesus but weren't preaching the Jesus that he preached. That's what he says. Nobody under Matthew 28 commission could say that Christ sent them not to baptize. Nor could they say that they were glad they didn't baptize people. To be obedient to Matthew 28:19, you had to practice water baptism. You were commanded and commissioned to do it. Many use the excuse that Paul was speaking as an evangelist. There is a Greek word for that. It's baloney. If you can show me anywhere in your Bible that Paul was speaking as an evangelist, I'd love to see it. Church is a tradition if we're not careful, and the word becomes unimportant. It's also theological gimmicks developed by people who can't face the verses and let the light of the verses shine unto the truth. That's the problem. Have you ever, we talked about this in Bible study, have you ever just believed something your whole life? I mentioned about man having one less rib than woman because rib was, you know, I believed that up until my 30s. I didn't realize men have just as many ribs as women. But I'm telling you, you can see people split up over that because even when they see it as when it's shine, when the light's shining to them, they ain't going to lose. I mean, I'm a perfect example. You can ask my wife. If I know I'm wrong, I'm still going to argue with her just to see if I can win. And those are little things that are fun. But when it comes to the cross of Christ, we can't make the cross of Christ of none effect. So you know what that means? That means words in the Bible are important. And we need not turn them or twist them or make them to fit to why we've always believed the way we believed. I think today it's so funny. I've seen people where it's like the light went off and they see something they never saw. And the next day they'll come back and say, well, I realize why we read it that way, but here's what it really means. As if the Bible doesn't mean what it says. God says, let every man be a liar and God be true. That means the word means exactly what it says. Have you ever thought about it? It may be good when we've shown something that we've never seen before to just actually say, wow, I've been wrong this long, and just laugh about it. That's hard to do. I'm really good at making it hard to do. But once we do that, once we can't admit to the truth when we see the light, then all we're doing is affecting our life and the lives around us. Every book Paul wrote, he says, Paul, an apostle. He also wrote as an apostle. So it's clear Paul was called an apostle. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Just to show you that Paul did not follow the commission that the 12 followed. Matthew 28 commission is given to the apostles as apostles. It was the 11 that ran into the mountain of Galilee with Jesus and he appointed them. And he came and showed himself to them, and he said unto them, so he was talking to the apostles. Paul, as an apostle, says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, you can change that how you want to, but there it is. If you try to make those two the same, if you try to say, well, what Paul preached and what the other apostles preached is really the same, Paul was just evangelizing. If you say that, then something's missing. If you try to make those two things the same, I'm telling you, you will choke on those things. Paul did not follow the commission that the 12 followed. Notice Matthew 28:20. The word says, teaching them, now this is Jesus talking to the 12, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, Christ was clear on the Sermon of the Mount. Go to verse 18. Just go to Matthew 5:18. Look what Christ taught, Sermon on the Mount. And he just said, teach those things that I taught you. Was Paul on the scene here? No. Was Saul? No. Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So that teaching would be the law referred to in verse 18. The commission in Matthew 28:20 requires the teaching of the law. Well, what does Paul say about the law? Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. It's different. The only way to understand Romans 6 and Matthew 28 would be to understand that they are different programs. If you don't do that, then you don't have a prayer in understanding those passages. There is something different between the ministry that Christ gave from heaven to Paul and the ministry on the earth that Christ gave to the apostles. This is a different ministry. That's why Paul is not one of the 12. He is part of something different that God is doing. In closing, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 15 verse 3. This is, if you don't read anything else, this is as important as it gets. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3. Paul says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We seem to always stop there, but look how important and the difference in Paul. Verse 5, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now, Paul's writing this to the Corinthian people to remind them the order of why he was who he was and what had changed. And so he says in verse 6, after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And look at verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. That means Paul became an apostle at the time that God planned. And you can't argue with that. And you can't say he should have been over here as if God made a mistake. Because he says, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. You know when Paul was born out of due time? You know when Paul was saved out of due time? At the perfect time. Shouldn't have been there before. He didn't qualify. And Paul was born in due time, so that we could have a message that no other knew. And it was the right time. God, through the pen of Paul, says that the 12 and Paul are different, that they are not the same. So why Paul? Because it was necessary for your salvation to see what Christ did on the cross. Period. We don't have to make a long, elaborate story of it. We could just simply say, because without the ministry that was given to Paul, we wouldn't have the understanding of what Christ did on behalf of us for our salvation. Why did he choose Paul? Because he wanted to. And maybe he would have chose somebody else if it wasn't Paul. We can elaborate on that, but I don't think it's necessary. What I think is necessary is that we rejoice in the fact that Christ took a man who wasn't called by any other man. We don't have to worry about it, because all man is wicked. He wasn't called by any man. He wasn't called by a group of men. He was called by Jesus Christ Himself. So why in the world would we argue it? Why? Just rejoice in the fact of what Christ did on our behalf to get us the message of truth. Amen? Amen. Doug, will you close us in prayer?